Today on the Pastor's Study, our study takes the form of a question, which is this: why can religion be so damnable? Again, why can religion be so damnable? And that will be our topic of discussion today on the Pastor's Study. But before we begin, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, it's so great to be saved, to know that when I die, I'll go to heaven and all my sins have been forgiven and washed in the blood of Jesus. Father, we ask your blessing upon the lesson today. As your word goes out, we know that you promised that it would not return void. Father, we pray that it accomplish what it set out to accomplish today. We pray you bless the listener, save the lost sinner through the shed blood of your Son. And we pray, if anything's accomplished today, it is all because of thee, Father. And again, have your will in your way in our lesson today, and we ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Why can religion be so damnable? Well, the quick answer is this: it convinces lost men that they are saved. It convinces lost men that they are saved. In the book of Acts, chapter 10, we read the account of the conversion of Cornelius and his household to Christ. In Acts, chapter 10, verses 34 to 35, we find that Cornelius had been working righteousness, and yet he was not saved until he believed. In Acts chapter 10, 43 to 44. And then we also see in Acts 11, verse 17. But in Acts chapter 10, verse 34, Acts 10, verse 34, read this: "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him.'" Not saved, accepted with him. We see that Cornelius had been working righteousness. He feared God, but he wasn't saved. But because of those things, we're going to see that God gives him the specifics in how to be saved, how to know that his sins are forgiven, and when he dies, he'd go to heaven. We see in Acts chapter 10 again in verse 43 and 44, as Peter is preaching to Cornelius and his household, we read, "To him gave all the prophets witness that through his name," that's the name of Jesus Christ, "whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." And while Peter yet spake these words, what happened? "The Holy Ghost fell upon all of them which heard the word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Cornelius and his household heard the preaching of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and they believed in their heart, and they were saved, and they received the Holy Ghost. Amen. And then we see in Acts 11, verse 17, where Peter's reaccounting what happened with Cornelius and his household, we read, For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God?" Peter says, the gift that we, the Jews, have been given, as he says here, that if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're saved, that he also gave it upon the Gentiles, Cornelius and his household. And he's saying, how could I withstand God? How could I prevent this from happening? I couldn't. Now, we see that Cornelius, he was working righteousness as a lost man. And lost men can, first of all, be devout. They can be devout. Looking in Acts chapter 10, verse 2. As we see the description of Cornelius, it says that he is a devout man. He's a devout man. Amen. Now let's compare this to what it says in Acts chapter 22. Acts chapter 22 with me. And we want to look at verse number 12 of Acts 22. The Word of God says this: "And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwell therein." We see here that Ananias was devout according to the law. So a lost man can be devoted to religion or absorbed in religious exercises. Amen? But he's still lost. That's right. Now also a lost man can fear God. Again, in the description or Cornelius, we're told that he was a devout man and one that feared God. See? Now, I want us to turn to 2 Chronicles with me. 2 Chronicles chapter 2. Actually, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 29. Now, we read here in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, in verse 29, notice what the Word of God says. "In the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel." And here is a reference to these heathen nations that surrounded Israel. They feared God, amen, because of how God had fought on Israel's behalf. But they still were lost. You see, typically, non-Christians don't fear God. Typically, non-Christians don't fear God. Notice with me what the words of Almighty God say in Romans chapter 3, verse number 18. In Romans chapter 3, in verse number 18, we're told regarding the unsaved, the non-Christian, "There is no fear of God before their eyes." Amen. Also, we see lost men, they can be devout, fear God, and they also give money. Notice the description again of what it says here about Cornelius. In Acts chapter 10, verse 2. "A devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people." See that? He gave money. Now, this is very typical of the lost, amen, because it's easier to write a check than to humble yourself, amen. Notice what the words of Almighty God say with me. I want us to turn to the book of Psalms and look at Psalm number 51 with me, if you would. Psalm 51 in verses 16 and 17. "For thou desirest not sacrifice." This is in referring to God, what he desires. "For thou desirest not sacrifice." You know, religion, religious traditions, outward acts. "Else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. Then the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." See, God wants someone, an individual, to humble themselves before him. See that? That's what that broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, indicates. He's not interested in religion, religious acts, outward acts, amen. He'd rather have you to obey, amen, what it says in 1 Samuel, if you'll turn there, in chapter 15. In 1 Samuel chapter number 15, the words of God, Almighty God, say this in verse number 22. "And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. The Lord would rather have you obey Him. Amen. He's big on obeying Him, on obedience, on being humble, instead of outward religious acts and religion itself. Amen. We also see that lost men, they pray always. Again, looking at Cornelius in chapter 10 of Acts chapter 10 and verse 2, we see there at the end, it says, and prayed to God always. And in verse 4, we read, and when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine arms are come up for a memorial before God. So we see here, this unsaved man, Cornelius, he prayed always. Amen. Notice in Luke 18 with me, I want us to turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18. And in verse number 11, notice with me. Here we have the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. And we're told in verse 11, we see the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. See that? Typically, non-Christians say prayers, but some actually pray. And we know this Pharisee was unsaved. And the publican went down to his house justified. Why? Because he humbled himself in the sight of the Lord and asked for mercy. Something lost men can do, continuing, is they obey God. Amen. They obey God. Look at again in Acts chapter 10 for a moment. In Acts chapter 10 with me. Let's look at verses 5 and 8. And now send men to Joppa, and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. And he lodged with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside, and he shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants, and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. So here we see, absolutely, Cornelius obeyed God. God told him to send these men to Simon Peter, to Joppa, and he did that. And we see that lost men can obey God. Amen. We have two examples or illustrations of this in the Old Testament. One of them is Laban. Laban. Now we need to turn to Genesis chapter 31 to see Laban here. Chapter 31 of Genesis in verse number 24. We read, and God came to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night and said to him, take heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. Now let's see, that's the instructions that God gave to Laban. Did he obey? Look at in verse 29. It is in the power of my hand to do you hurt, but the God of your father spake unto me yesternight, saying, take thou heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. He did obey. Laban was unsaved, but he obeyed God. Unsaved, lost men obey God. Look at also another example. Abimelech in Genesis chapter 20. Genesis chapter 20, notice, beginning in verse 3, down to 7. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? said he not unto me, she is my sister, and she, even she herself, said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. And God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me, therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live, and if thou restore not, then thou shalt surely die, thou and all thine house. And then we read in verse number 14 here, and Abimelech took sheep, oxen, manservants, women servants, and gave them unto Abraham, and restored him Sarah his wife. So here we see this lost man obeyed God. So lost men can not only be devout, fear God, give money, pray always, and obey God, but they also can be just. Be just. Look at in again in chapter 10 of the book of Acts, in verse number 22. And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man. That was his testimony from without. The Jews said, he's a just man. Amen. Now, we mean just as in the case of integrity and honesty. We don't mean just in as far as being just with God or in salvation. And we see that in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 20 with me. Proverbs 20, and then look at verse number 7, if you would, of Proverbs 20. We read this, the just man walketh in his integrity, and his children are blessed after him. So we see here that Cornelius, who was an unsaved man, was just. Not only that, but in a saved man like Cornelius here, they can have a good report. They can have a good report. Again, in Acts chapter 10, verse 22, we read this about Cornelius. And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews. See that? He had a good report by all the Jews, not just his family and his friends, but of the Jewish nation. Just like the centurion that we find over, if you'll turn with me to the Gospel of Luke. In Luke chapter, we want to look at Luke chapter 7, in verses 1 to 5. Words of God say this, and now when he had ended all his saying in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation and hath built us a synagogue. Here we see another unsaved man who had a good report from the Jews, amen, and beseech Jesus to come and heal his servant who he loved. And then we also see that lost men can desire to hear the word, amen, can desire to hear the word of God. Again, in Acts chapter 10, verse 22, we read, and they said, Cornelius, a centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God and of good report among all the nation of the Jews was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. See that? He was unsaved, but he wanted to hear the words of Almighty God. Just like the men in the parable of the sower and the seed who heard but didn't get saved. Look at in Matthew chapter 13. In Matthew chapter 13, and we want to look at verses 20 and 21. Words of God say this, but he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet he hath not root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. Now also, we want to see that lost men can be devout, fear God, give money, pray always, obey God, be just, have a good report, desire to hear the word, and lost men can also fast. In Acts chapter 10, verse number 30, we read, and Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting. Just like the Pharisee who was justified there in Luke chapter 18, verse 12. Let's go look at him again. In Luke chapter 18, verse 12, notice what he's telling God about himself, how righteous he is. I fast twice in the week. See that? So unsaved men, lost men can also fast. And something else about lost men, they know what the words, or what the word of God says about Jesus. Amen? Notice with me in Acts chapter 10, verse 36 to 37, the word which God sent unto the children by Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is the Lord of all. The word I say you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. So, Cornelius knew what was said about Jesus. Amen? Just like one King Agrippa. King Agrippa. Remember King Agrippa? Let's turn to Acts chapter 26 for a moment. Let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 36, and find King Agrippa. Look at in verse 2 with me, first of all. Paul stands before him, and in verse 2 he says, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee touching all things whereof I am accused of the Jews. And then verse 3. Especially because I know thee to be an expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews, wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. See, King Agrippa knew, amen, what the word of God said about Jesus, amen, in the Jews. And he knew about the Jews. And then if we drop down to verse 23, we read that Christ should suffer, see, and that he should be first that should rise from the dead and should shew light unto the people and the Gentiles. See, Agrippa knew all of this. He knew what the word of God said about Jesus. He had heard it time and time again. And then we drop down to verse 26. Amen. We want to drop down to verse 26. Of Acts 26, and notice what it says. For the king knoweth these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. He knew he was lost, just like Cornelius was lost. Amen. But he still knew what the word said about Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, so often you and I, amen, so often you and I find people like this and think, well, surely they must be saved. You know, it looks like a Christian, it smells like a Christian, it walks like a Christian, it talks like a Christian, it must be a Christian. However, such is not the case most of the time. We see that Cornelius had to believe before he could be saved. In Acts 11, verse 17, as Peter is recounting his dealing with Cornelius in his household and explaining how he was sent to them and how he had that great vision where the unclean animals were brought down in a net. And he said God told Peter that for nothing is uncommon or unclean, amen, that God made. He says, the voice answered me in verse 9 of Acts 11, but the voice answered me again from heaven, what God hath cleansed, that call thou not thou common. In other words, see, things are changing now. Amen. Remember, the Jews were only could eat, they had dietary restrictions, and now things are changing. God is saying, hey, you know, anything, again, that he said here, that I have cleansed, it's not common. It's all right to eat. Now things are changing, he's saying. Now I'm going to give salvation, grace through faith. Just as I gave it to the Jews, now I'm giving it to the Gentiles. Amen. So he had to believe. So you can have all these religious outward things. You can be devout. Amen. You know, be devout to your religion, absorbed in religious exercises. You can have even a fear of God. Amen. And you can give money. And you can be and pray always and obey God and be a just person, you know, and live in integrity and honesty. And have a good report, you know, from without. People that know you, that's a good person. He, so-and-so's a good person. You can have a desire to hear the word. You know, you may turn on a Christian radio station and listen to a broadcast. And you even know, I mean, especially in our country, we know what the word of God says about Jesus Christ and how he was crucified. But none of this matters, amen, unless an individual believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how one is saved. They believe in their heart that Christ died, he died for their sins, was buried, rose again the third day. That it's only his shed blood, his blood atonement on Calvary's cross that pays for all their sins, past, present, and future, and secures them a home in heaven. So don't be deceived by religion. Religion can't save you or your loved ones. Salvation is in a man, the man Christ Jesus. Let's end with this. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 to 6. For there is good and acceptable, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. That's the will of God, for all men to be saved and none should perish. See? And to come under the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God. One God. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. You see that? Who have all men to be saved. God wants everyone to be saved. And he's given his son, who's given himself as a ransom to die for the sins of the whole world. And you can only come to the Father through the Son. He's your mediator, not Mary or some other dead saint. Amen? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, Jesus Christ said. So why can't religion be so damnable? Because it convinces lost men that they are saved. But don't be deceived and don't be fooled. It's only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ that anyone can be saved. Well, we've just about run out of time here on the Pastor's Study. I pray you join me next time as we meet again on the Pastor's Study. Until We meet again. My prayers are God would richly bless you, and good day.